Boston. Today marks the 3-year anniversary of the bombings near the finish line of the Boston Marathon back in 2013. The anniversary falls 3 days before this year's race. More than 30,000 athletes are expected to run on Monday, and close to half of those will be women. According to Running USA, that's no surprise. Around 50% of the more than 500,000 Americans who finished marathons last year were women. But 50 years ago, not so much. Here and Now's Alex Ashlock reports on a woman who challenged and helped change the rules.
In April 1966, Roberta Gibb rode a bus from San Diego all the way to her parents' home in Winchester, Massachusetts. It was the day before the Boston Marathon, and she told her mom and dad, "I'm running."
My father actually thought that I was deranged, that I was delusional. The poor girl, she thinks she's going to run the marathon. He was afraid I would kill myself or hurt myself if I actually tried, because I hadn't told them that I was training, because I knew they'd think I was nuts and they'd try to stop me.
But how her parents felt was the least of Roberta Gibb's worries.
The men who organized the race at Boston were following the national AAU rules, which said women couldn't run more than 1.5 miles.
That's Ambie Burfoot, editor at Runner's World. And he's talking about the amateur athletic union regulations that kept women out of races like the Boston Marathon.
They thought they were being wonderfully paternalistic and taking care of the, you know, poor little girls and women who, you know, who needed all the help they could possibly get. So let's not force them or ask them to do something like run long distances. That would just be wrong.
Burfoot's new book, First Ladies of Running, documents how Roberta Gibb and 21 other women changed that.
I've always loved to run. Even when I was a little kid, I was a toddler, and my dad used to take me to the local park, and I'd see the green field, and I'd just feel full of joy, and I'd run across the field, and I just kept running. I ran all through adolescence.
So on Tuesday, April 19th, 1966, Gibb's parents dropped her off near the Boston Marathon starting line. She was wearing her brother's Bermuda shorts and a hoodie to hide her long hair. She hid out in the bushes until the race started, waited a bit for a group of men to pass, and then jumped in the pack, worried about how the male runners might respond.
To my great delight, they said, "Gee, wow, I wish my girlfriend would run. I wish my wife would run." And they were friendly, and I said, "I'm afraid they'll throw me out if I take the hood off and they see I'm a woman." And they said, "We won't let them." So they were protective, too, and I felt like they were my brothers, and we were all in this together, and there was this incredible mutual respect and friendship.
Gibb, who's known by her nickname Bobby, finished that race in 3 hours and 21 minutes. Again, Ambie Burfoot.
Bobby broke the tape first, and then slowly but surely, steadily, more women followed. And things kept going and getting better and better, and more women ran, and eventually there was the big movement to finally introduce an Olympic marathon into the 1984 Olympic Games, and so that got pushed through.
Bobby Gibb never got to run in the Olympic race she inspired, but she went on to do so much more in her life, working as a lawyer, neuroscientist, and an artist. And it all started with her father on the green fields of a local park.
I found in running a kind of freedom. I guess I was running away from some of the restraints of our culture. I just never stopped. I just loved it.
For Here and Now, I'm Alex Ashlock.